You're listening to the Fishing Guide Podcast Show. In episode 19, our hosts, Mitch Glenn and Brad Wiegman, are interviewing Vice President of Catfish Pro, Mitch Baker, and learning the story behind the prepared catfish bait, in addition to getting some tips to where, when, and how to catch catfish with Catfish Pro. Tackle Time features Pico Little Pop topwater lures. And now, broadcasting from deep in the heart of the Ozarks, your hosts, Mitch Glenn, owner of Pico Lures and national sales manager for major fishing companies, and Brad Wiegman, an outdoor writer, fishing guide, photographer, and social media content manager. Together, your hosts will cover everything from fishing for crappie, bass, and other game fish to interviewing renowned fishing guides and pros on the hottest lakes and rivers. Fishing Guide Podcast is sponsored by Pico Lures, founded in 1933. Legendary Pico Lures has a complete line of fishing tackle for any angler and all game fish. Pico's famous for its Pico Perch, Side Shad, Pop, Little Pop, and its crankbaits are the hottest crankbaits with 25 color patterns and growing. Pico's jig heads, soft plastic lures, and marabou jigs will fill your buckets and live well full of game fish. Pico also has an exclusive line of bass fishing jig heads. Several of these Pico jig heads feature the Easy Keeper Coil system. And now, here are your hosts, Mitch and Brad.
Welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Wiegman, along with my co-host, Mitch Glenn.
Hey, Brad. When's the last time we talked catfishing?
We have not caught.
You want to talk some catfishing?
I'd love to.
I don't know of a better guy to talk to than Mitch Baker, the VIP of Catfish Pro.
Wow. How you doing, Mitch?
Hey, guys. Hi, doing great. Glad to be on. Glad y'all have me on.
There you go. Catfish Pro is actually a family-owned business since 2013. And his dad, Mike, and that would be his mom. Mitch's mom works there, too. So it's always cool to work in the fishing industry and have a family-run business successful.
And right here in Arkansas.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about Catfish Pro.
Yeah, so it's me, my mom, and my dad, and it started back in 2013, and dad just wanted to retire, and all he wanted to do was go fishing and have a bait that stays on his hook and catch catfish, and he was getting frustrated that everything he was trying to use was coming off the hook, and so he was like, man, I'm going to make a bait that stays on the hook and catches catfish, and so we just started messing around with different recipes, and we finally came up with one that worked well for us and started using it, and so now we offer 11 different total flavors now, and you know, it stays on your hook when nothing else will. It's all water activated, so there's no messy or stinky hands, and you don't have to use a treble hook or a sponge hook. You can use just an ordinary J hook or whatever your favorite hook is.
Wow. And were you there when they were using your mom's kitchen to develop Catfish Pro?
Yeah, it all started in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah, how did that go?
That was a happy environment.
Yeah, the house definitely had a different smell to it when you would walk in.
I was going to ask how you made something that was water activated and didn't stink, but I guess I'm guessing probably your mom probably had a hand in that.
Yeah, mom absolutely had a big hand in that. Mom actually came up with the entire recipe, and so
wow,
a lot of the credit on that goes directly to her.
Yeah, she didn't feed it to the kids first, did she?
That's him.
I know.
Oh no, is that like a secret sauce?
Yeah.
Like Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah.
I'll be darned. So Catfish Pro, it's made in the shape of squares. Now, why is that?
So we make it a cube. It's actually a 5/8 inch by 5/8 inch cube. Okay. And the reason that we do that is if you think about aerodynamics and things like that, if you put a round ball in a wind tunnel, that air is going to go over it. It's not going to create as much friction or anything else. If you put that cube in that same wind tunnel, there's going to be a lot more friction. There's going to be a lot more action on that cube. Well, a river current works the same way. So anywhere that you have that current flowing, that cube is going to create more friction. It's going to release that scent quicker to get that scent trail into the water quicker and attract the catfish faster.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's so that's the reason why it's shaped like that. Does that also make a difference when it's breaking down and it leaves like a scent trail? Does that make a difference?
Yeah, on the cube design.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Yeah. So when it's breaking down, it actually helps it to that's one of the things that helps it stay on the hook the way that it does. But it's still able to create that scent trail and release that scent with that current. It's going to release it faster, but it's still not going to break down. It's kind of, It'll expand. It'll start to knock the corners off and things like that. But our bait in a strong current will stay on your hook 6 to 12 hours.
Is that right? Wow.
It's a long time.
Yeah, it is. So
yeah, we did a lot of testing on the Arkansas River with, jugs and trot lines and things like that. And we would set them at night, come back, run them in the morning, and we would either have a catfish or we'd still have bait on our hook.
So now, are you doing different flavors for different catfish, or how do you?
So each flavor, they all work differently. So like, if I want to chase channel catfish, I'm probably going to go after like my cheese bait or something like that. If I'm looking for the blues, shad works good, blood works good. So the different flavors will attract different fish. The flatheads, they're going to go more after like your live bait. So if I'm using our bait and I'm trying to catch flatheads, I like the shrimp. We do catch some flatheads on our shrimp bait.
Right.
So you catch every kind of catfish on your bait. And is it effective too on flatheads?
Yeah, it's not as effective. You're not going to catch very many flatheads on our bait. Flatheads tend to go after, live bait or cut bait, things like that. We do have some people that send us pictures of flatheads that they've caught. I've been with a friend of mine that has caught a flathead off of it. I have never personally caught a flathead. The things that I catch blues and I catch channels.
Right.
Yeah, and
who came up with the flavors?
We have all came up with the flavors throughout the years, but we've got our original, which is the one that we originally started with, and that's why we call it original. And then everything else, we've got blood, we've got chicken liver, we've got shad, we've got crawdad, we've got skipjack, we've got shrimp, we've got catapa worm, we've got cheese, we've got bloody shad, and bloody skipjack.
Right. Wow.
And so, we just think of the typical things that, what would we use to catch catfish, what works well for us, and then we figure out a way to put those exact ingredients back into our bait. So everything we use we don't use synthetic, we don't use simulated, we use real things. So if it's shad, then we put real shad in it. Our catapa worm has real catapa worm in it. Our shrimp has real shrimp in it.
So that's why there's no catapa worms on the trees this year. Y'all been out trying to pluck them all.
We've been out gathering catapa worms.
Where's Mitch? Mitch is out up
he's,
in that
he's,
tree.
He's up there shaking the tree branches. Yeah.
I don't think he's out there shaking all those trees.
That's you got to get him out of there somehow or another.
Yeah, that's right.
What do you think is the real draw to catfishing? We're joking around about the flavors and the scents, but man, like so many people go catfishing, and it seems
it's a pastime.
Yeah, it's something easy to do. It's something that, really anybody can do, and it's something that's relatively cheap. If you think about, bass fishing, crappie fishing, things like that, the gear gets more expensive, the lures get more expensive.
Right.
And then you've got to really know how to work those or, work the jigs, work the crankbaits, things like that, where catfishing, it's as simple as get a hook, put something on it, throw it out there, let it set.
Right.
And it's something that it's easy to do. It's easy to have the kids do. And it is something that we're continuing to see grow the industry. We continue to see the numbers grow year after year on the active catfisher that we have.
Right.
Yep. That's
so with all the new people out there fishing and everything, what would be some quick tips you would give them if they wanted to get into the catfishing?
You know, I mean, the biggest thing is patience, I think. Oh. Just having the patience to stick with it. Catfishing is one of those things that, you know, when you are doing like the bass fishing and the things like that, you're at least getting the activity. You're throwing it, you're reeling it in, you're throwing it, you're reeling it in. Sometimes when you're catfishing, you know, you'll throw it out there and you're just sitting for 10, 15 minutes waiting for something to come up and bite.
Right.
And so I think the biggest thing is just having the patience to wait for it. And, cause man, once you hook that first, you know, good one, that 5-10 pounder, and you get that good bite, I mean, it doesn't even have to be, you know, one of those 20, 30 or upward, you right. know, a good 5-10 pounder, you get that good fight in and man, you're hooked.
Yeah.
You know, another tip you might give them is like hook size. So you have the shape of your bait. What treble hook? I assume that you're going to use a treble hook.
So no, actually oh. I don't use a treble hook at all. I use a we actually have double offset circle C hooks that we use.
Right.
And so we use a circle C hook, and it's got a offset shank, and then it's got a bent back hook and a bent back eye. And we like to use those because it's easy to tie with the bent back eye, and if you're snailing, it makes it easy to snail the hook.
Right.
But with a what's great about a circle C hook is you don't have to set the hook.
Right.
So like with the treble hooks or your ordinary J hooks, things like that, you know, you've got to wait for the bite. You got to be there. You got to be ready to set the hook, everything else. With the circle C hooks, you can just put the bait on there. You throw it out there. The fish, the way that the hook is designed, it'll actually hook the fish in the side of the mouth the way that the hook is, or the way that the fish is supposed to be hooked.
Right.
You can bring it in, you reel it in. As long as you don't jerk it, you're not going to lose the fish. Whenever your pole starts bouncing, you go over there, pick it up, start reeling in. And then when you're taking the hook out, you don't have to worry about, like on trebles, you can sometimes have the fish swallow them, things like that. But with the circle C's, it's going to sit right in the corner of their mouth, and they're easy to pop back out. And I like, for our bait, I like to use around a 5 to 6-aught circle C hook.
Uh-huh.
And then if I am going for, you know, the bigger fish, you know, we've got all the way up to 10-aught hooks. But for me, just everyday fishing out on the river or going to the lake, I like a 5 or a 6-aught. Works perfect for our size bait as well.
Right.
And another tip you might give them is like storing your leader in koozies.
Yeah. We have a UBI. We do useful bits of information on our website that we put up. We also put them up on Facebook.
A UBI.
And we call them UBIs, just useful bits of information. And so we actually have one where we put the line down in a koozie.
Uh-huh.
You just leave a little bit of the line coming out, and then you just unravel it. You cut whatever you need for your leader line, and then everything stays stored right there in your koozie. You don't have to worry about the line rolling around, coming unspooled, anything like that.
Cool. I'm going to start keeping all these free koozies everybody's always trying to throw at you.
Yeah. We have quite a few little UBIs that we've posted up there on Catfish Pro.
Yeah?
Yeah. What should you do if you get finned by a catfish? You know, to remove that burn.
Well, what I do when I get finned by a catfish is I flip it over, rub that slime off of his belly, and then rub it right there on where I've been finned at. That slime works to take away the sting.
That's too easy, man. There's got to be something more difficult than that.
I don't know. It's as easy as that.
Is that right?
Get that. Yeah, it's a catfish.
You just gotta rub a little bit of that catfish slime on you.
Now, you know, I do a little bit of marketing, dude. So we can't make this beat something that easy be a UBI here. I think you need to start collecting catfish slime and putting it in a bottle. You could sell that.
I was thinking like a catfish, you're rubbing its belly, and you know, like channel cat, they like raw, raw.
I figured that's how they come up with all these formulas. They caught some catfish, stuck them up to their ear like a seashell, and they were.
Listen to them.
Then that means blood meal.
That's right.
Well, how does skipjack sound? Oh my gosh. Okay, Mitch.
I grew up on Arkansas River, man. I've talked to the catfish.
How about crawdads?
Yeah.
How do crawdads sound?
What I never could figure out is why a catapa worm sounded like. But Daddy always made me get up in a tree and bounce on the limbs anyways.
Oh my gosh. That's some crazy stuff right there.
So you was talking about these baits leaving a scent trail.
Yeah.
So you're using 6-aught, 7-aught hook. You just putting one of those on there, or if you put multiple squares on a hook, are you going to put off a bigger scent trail? Or
yeah, now for me, I typically only use one piece. Now if I'm using like a 7-aught, 8-aught, 9-aught, you start getting bigger hooks. We do put 2 or 3 pieces on, like the 10-aught hook. I'll put 3 pieces on it. Just to fill in that hook, give me that bigger scent trail, try to attract some of those bigger cats.
And this thing will just continue to put off scent as long as it's in the water. Is it degrade at all?
Yeah, it will start to degrade, and it will eventually fall off the hook. But like I said, in a strong current, you're looking, 6 to 12 hours.
Wow.
And that's a long time.
It's a long time.
So I know they come in resealable bags, don't they, the products when you buy them in the store?
Yeah, everything is resealable, and we did it that way because our bait, we have preservatives and everything in it to where it won't mildew, it won't mold or anything else. It's not going to dry out on you. So we wanted to put that seal on there. That way you get true value for what you buy. You're able to use everything.
Right.
So as long as you keep that bag sealed, that product's never going to go bad on you. It's never going to be out of date. It's never going to dry out on you. It's going to be just as good as the day you bought it. I keep mine in my truck year round. It doesn't have to be stored in the fridge or anything like that.
And no stink until it gets wet.
No stink until it gets wet.
Activates it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I've used it.
Yeah.
So we've gone catfishing with it off our dock.
Yeah.
And it actually does what it says, which is really cool. Now, on our case, we use treble hooks. So
okay, yeah.
We just scooted it like right into the shank of it, and it stayed. It stayed on the hook. So for people that are new to catfishing, tell us like the difference between a jug line and a limb line.
So a jug line is going to be your free floating. So we use pool noodles.
Yeah.
And we'll take pool noodles and we'll cut them and we'll put PVC in them and we'll drill holes in the ends, run our bolts through there, and we'll put our drop lines down on them. And depending on where we're going fishing, anywhere from 10-foot lines all the way up to 30-foot lines, depending on what depth we're trying to hit. But a jug is going to be more of your free floating. You're able to throw them wherever you want, out in the river or lake or wherever, let them float around. They're going to float with the current. They're going to move in and out of the shallows and the depths. Where a limb line is going to be something more that's stationary. It's going to have either a pole that you've dug into the bank or into the ground or into a shallow, and you've got a line just hanging off of it. Or truly, you've tied it off to a limb, a branch of a tree, and you've got that hanging down. And it's going to be more stationary in one area.
Yeah. So legally in Arkansas, you can do both of them. Is that correct?
Yes, you can. But with jug lines, with jugs, if you are running jugs, they must, if you're running them during daylight, you have to be within sight of them.
Okay.
So you can set them out, but you can't set them out and then leave. You have to stay within sight. And then overnight, you can set them, come in, and then go out, and you have to run them at daybreak.
Okay. How about yo-yos?
Because if you leave them out there past daylight and there's no one out there with them, then...
Isn't that about the same kind of regulation as a yo-yo?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. And,
yo-yos are still legal, I guess. I'm assuming this would work fine on them, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. We have some people that do use yo-yos with our bait.
And explain, you know, for some people that are new to catfishing, what's a yo-yo?
So a yo-yo is, it's got a little metal gear or contraption on it, and so it's going to tie off to kind of like a tree or something like that, and then it's going to have a spring loaded, and so when it gets bit or something like that, it's actually going to activate and kind of set the hook for you.
Right.
Yeah, and we're kind of thinking like a lot of this is in the lake situation or ponds or lakes, but in river situations, like let's just say you were fishing in the Arkansas River or you're fishing in
that's where we fish. We fish Jetta Taylor Dam right there in Ozark, Arkansas. Oh.
So what is, I mean, there's jetties. I mean, how do you keep from getting hung up in the river like that?
It just takes time, experience, not getting too fast. So if you're fishing on the backside of the dam where you've got like a lot of rock and a lot of embankment and you've got your sinker sitting at the bottom, the one thing to remember when you're bringing that back in is once you bring your rod up and you start reeling that, reel it in fast. Don't let it drop back down, because once you get that free and you get it reeling in, what a lot of people do is they'll reel it in too slow when they're just bringing it in, no fish, just bringing it in to recast, or and they'll let that sinker drop back down and it'll get caught up in those rocks. But if you reel fast and you keep it reeling in, it keeps it from hanging up on the way back in.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a good tip.
I mean, because there's just so much rock, you know, in the rivers.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, real quick, I want to know what your super top secret method for getting a fish off of one of your catching your jugs are when you got a big fish on it.
We use a gas to reach right below the bottom of the jug and grab that line.
Yep. Okay.
And we'll pull that up, grab it up, get it up to the boat to where we can get it in our hands, and then we'll have either our second person will have a net, and as soon as we get that big cat to get up close or starts top the water, we'll have that net ready to do the net. But yeah, we always make sure we have our gas ready to be able to reach down there and get underneath the jug and grab that bottom where the leader line's starting to come off at.
So chasing it around in a 12-foot flat bottom is just probably not smart a deal. I've seen people out there jug fishing, looks so easy and so much fun until these guys get out there and try to catch their jug.
Yeah.
So with jug fishing, limb line and trot line and bank fishing, are there seasons of the year? What time of year is best to do each of those?
Really, whenever, if they're starting to spawn like April, May, you do real good, we do on the Arkansas River, we always do real good with our trot lines around that time.
Right.
We try to find little inlets or mouths where two little points meet, and we try to, you know, where it's got a little bit of activity and it's going to draw in the bait fish and things like that, and we'll try to set our trot lines right through there, maybe somewhere where they're going to be bedding, and we seem to do really well on our trot lines around that area or around that time of the year. Bank fishing, we have done good right after around the end of May through June, kind of on the backside of the dam looking for backwater eddies where you get the squirrel in the water and things like that. And if we can find some good eddies that we can cast up into, we do really well with those then.
All right. Well, we sure appreciate you being on the show.
Very Mitch. Interesting.
Not Mitch. Not old Mitch.
Well, I'm always here. On the show.
Yeah. We appreciate you, Mitch, being on the show. Well, tell us about.
I appreciate you guys having us.
Yeah, telling us about catfishing. I mean, to me, that's a summertime deal. It's just awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's something the whole family can do, too.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how are people going to find you? Where are they going to go get your product?
They can get our product at catfishpro.com. They can get it on Amazon. They can get it at Walmart. They can get it at walmart.com. They can get it at Academy Sports. They can get it at Shields. And a lot of your local bait shops will carry it as well.
Awesome, man.
Awesome.
Good job.
Once again, thanks for being on the show, Mitch.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Tackle Time is sponsored by Pico Lures, famous for the Pico Perch, Pop, Little Pop, Side Shads, Deep Diving Crankbait, Square Bill Crankbaits, Bass Jig Heads, and a complete line of fishing tackle for crappie and other game fish.
Hey, this week's Tackle Time. Let's talk about everybody's favorite summer pastime, floating down a creek. One of the best little baits you can use floating down a creek is a small topwater, like the Pico Pop. This little old bait's 2 3/4 inches long, but it's bigger around than most small pops you're ever going to get your hands on. Try this little dude. We paint them up in some creek colors, including frog. Toss those around the bank just about anywhere. Chug them, pop them, walk them, skip them. Fish just love them. Give them a try.
So you can do that even like wade fishing when you get in those creeks that don't have any water.
You bet. If you're wade fishing, you know already that if that's on the top, the fish laying on the bottom can see it. And creek fish are opportunists. They are not going to let something skip across the water that will fit in their mouth. Perfect size bait.
Wow, good information there. Hey, we had quite a show. Mitch Baker was on the show. He's the VP of Catfish Pro, which is, I guess, the only catfish bait I know that doesn't stink.
Doesn't stink until it gets wet. That is absolutely amazing.
Oh, it's pretty amazing. We love having people on.
Modern technology.
He was also able to tell us about different techniques and gave us some tips on catfishing and even how to remove that burn if you get finned by a catfish.
That's
so
right.
Make sure you listen to the whole show to find that out. So for Mitch and myself, we want to thank you for listening to the Fishing Guide Podcast. Please subscribe, rate, leave a review of our show.
Give us a recommendation. What would you like to hear about?
There you go. For Mitch and myself, keep your hooks sharp and lures in the water.